kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have a title for us to consider today, and we're calling our teaching God's Chosen Paths for Us. God's Chosen Paths for Us. And as I open up with this to exhort you, we are very aware that God chooses a path for us. And that path for each of us is absolutely tailor-made. And we know this because Jesus said, I go before and prepare a place for you. We know that he goes before. He's tried it. He's tested it. He's made sure that every provision is there, that we lack nothing, even in this life, as we walk by faith. And God really wants us to really get this from our heads to our hearts, that our walk, our path, is chosen by Almighty God. God is sovereign, and everything he has decreed down to the minutest detail has all been predestined even before the foundation of the world. God is in utter, complete control. He's in such control that he can allow and permit circumstances to look completely contrary. That's how much he's in control. The worse it looks, the more in control he actually is. Whatever the situation, however you're feeling, whatever the news, whatever the threats, and we're all surrounded with it each day now. It's in the news, it's in our neighbourhoods, or either at work or in the families or whatever. God is in such complete control that he permits and allows it, because out of it, it is always for his glory. And we will come to this place where we will rest in that and not question, not react or be surprised or get offended or hurt or whatever it would be. We still react, but faith will always act, and there's a difference. And we're calling this today God's Chosen Path for Us. You see, God has chosen a path for us, and he will get our attention to walk in it. Because he's decreed everything, he's going to get our attention in whatever way in which to walk in the will of God. And let's turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And let us take this up from verse 5 of Psalm 37. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So God has decreed that you walk in his will, for the very purpose to bring forth your righteousness as the light. And that is God's light shining through every situation and trial and tribulation. It's interesting, you know, that God is showing us to walk with him. And you see, the blessings then result from it. Even the trials still indicate that I walk with him. Even when we go through those tribulations, those times when we just don't understand what is happening or why it has gone wrong or whatever it would be, God is showing us that we still walk with him and that there are still blessings that are entailed, whatever the situation, however it looks. I'm really stressing this one because news and world news is going to get worse. We've not heard anything yet to what is happening. We think this global epidemic and what we've gone through and lockdown and all the utter confusion of it all. Well, that is just the start, brothers and sisters. And we have got to come to that place where we are so persuaded that God is in control and not the enemy or politics or whatever political persuasion will have the final say. It will not. God will. And he's showing us to walk with him through every trial and tribulation, whatever we face. Don't plan your days, weeks, months, years without God, because you will get into circumstances that's not chosen of God, simply to get your attention. And that's why some of us get in the predicament that we do, because we're still planning our lives without God. We're not going to him first. We've already made the commitments. We've already committed ourselves. And once we've committed ourselves and made the arrangements, then we turn to God and ask him to bless it. And he doesn't, because you didn't go to him first. And we make those mistakes. We're not to do it. Our whole life and walk of faith is not only a dialogue, a sharing, a talking, a prayer life. It's committing everything unto the Lord. And he says, I will guide, I will direct your path. You see, do you still plan and not consider him or think it vital or important enough? Because that's what we do, you see. When we're not acknowledging God in our walk of faith, it's simply revealing that it's not spiritual enough. It's not important enough. But God wants you to know that it is. For he says, without me, you can do nothing. And then we wonder why we fall on our faces. We wonder why there isn't blessing. We wonder why it didn't turn out as we thought it would or whatever it would be. We have to learn that God has a chosen path for each of us. Not only for each of us, but also for FGA and other assemblies around the world. There is a path that this assembly has to walk that is ordained by God. And our fellowship and our unity and our oneness and our commitment to the body will reveal to us the path that God has chosen for us. And it's always going to be a path that in the natural is impossible to walk. Our path that God has chosen for us, You cannot do it in your own strength. Don't even attempt to do it. This path that he has chosen for us, even before the foundation of the world, is supernatural. It requires the power of the Spirit of God in and through us to walk this walk. Do you think our Lord, in his own strength, went towards Jerusalem and the cross? Not at all. He had to walk with his eyes upon his Father in complete unbroken fellowship to understand the path that God had chosen for him. And we too have to do the same. God is not only going to show the path he has for you individually, but he's going to show it also corporately for the body as well. Now, the path that he has for us for FGA is not a path that we can attain and walk in the natural. I know I say this so often, but we're so scattered. We're not in a local community. We're not all gathered in one town or village. Far from it. Yet that is the path God has chosen. That is the wisdom and mind of God. And let God be God. How he moves us forward as a body, he will reveal to us. That path that he has set for us. And it's gradually unveiled. God doesn't give everything straight away. All the saints that walked with God, their path was chosen. And God revealed more of that path, that plan he had for them when he met with them on various occasions. And whenever God met, particularly with the patriarchs, revealing more of himself, they were never the same. That was a huge deliverance in their lives, a change in their lives. And it's the same with us. When we meet our trials and our tests, that is God meeting with us in the fires. And when you come out of those fires, you are never the same. Because you have a greater insight and revelation of Almighty God and the path that he has chosen for you. And everything that God reveals of that path to each of us, whether it's for the body or individually, we will always find that God's grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul had much of the path that he was to walk revealed, even beforehand, that he was to go through much trial and tribulation, persecution. And he most certainly did. But God met with him through every trial or in his imprisonments. And there he always came out of it knowing that God's grace and mercy was there. It was sufficient. It's what anchors us. Do you know the grace and mercy of God is a revelation of God to you that we all need? Have you ever heard God say, "My grace is sufficient"? Why does he say that? Because there's revelation behind that. That is a sign he's with you, he's leading, he's guiding you, he's showing you that is the path I have for you. It's not for anyone else, it's for you. Nobody can emulate each other's walk. We can be encouraged by our brothers and sisters and seeing what God is doing through that life of that sister or that brother, but that's their walk. Even though we can learn from it, but you cannot emulate it. You cannot copy that. That is for that saint. You see. And this, of course, is where we then get the idea of the gift gifts that God sets into the church, which are all diverse and different for that very purpose. So that God, through the gifts and through the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, reveals God's chosen path for the body. It's unveiled step by step. You see, we tend to think that in major spiritual matters, that it's important to seek him. But in the every practical, everyday things, it's not necessary. You see, the Holy Spirit has come baptizing us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And to walk in the Spirit is a miracle. It's miraculous. It's not of this world. It's not what education or our parents are teaching or everything can teach us this. You can't. This can only come from above by the power of the Spirit to teach us, to empower us to walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, we know that God is with us. We know that every step that we take is blessed. We are in dialogue with him. We are communicating with him, not only when we go into our closet, which is absolutely important for our prayers and intercession, but also when we're walking in the Spirit, we're in that 24/7 communication with him. And we know that every step we take is ordained of God. We know every person that comes into our presence is sent by God. Everything I put my hands to is of God. Everything that comes out of my mouth is of God. That is what he's doing with us, brothers and sisters. And don't try and even attempt this. This can only be achieved through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is there in the Spirit. Why am I emphasizing this? Because it's Christ in you who takes over. We get out of the way so he can walk his walk through you and me. He can think his thoughts through you and me. He can pray his prayers through you and me. He can lay hands on the sick through you and me. This is what the deeper life is about. It's not you trying. It's not you trying to believe, trying to walk, trying to overcome, trying to pray, trying to read the word. Give up trying. Because it will not happen. It's not about trying, it's about being. It's what he's made you in Christ, a new creation. It's his handiwork. And we all the while get in the way because we need to have our minds renewed, delivered. And no finer way of our deliverance than getting under this anointing and hearing this word and the word of God, and it brings that deliverance. And we eventually get it. We suddenly realize something supernatural is taking over in my life. I no longer have to work at this, but simply yield to the Spirit. And whatever he says, just yield over and do it. It's called obedience. And guess what? He suddenly takes over. Suddenly all the turmoil, all the pain, all the stress, all the unbelief, and you name it, suddenly It's like it just obliterates. It's gone. This is why we need to come together. We need the Holy Spirit's ministry now in our lives. He is the only one who can feed us and satisfy us. And that's why he has a chosen path for all of us. What does it say in verses 8 and 9 of Psalm 37? Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So this is interesting here. He says, do not fret because it causes harm. In other words, anxiety, worry. Now, the idea here to fret means to get out of joint mentally or spiritually. You're out of joint. You're not thinking mentally or spiritually straight. That's the idea of what it's saying here. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Do you know that anxiety, fretting, causes spiritual harm? Why, even medical science knows that anxiety and harm can cause cancers, heart problems, and all these problems that we have today around the world and in our families and so on, because they're anxious, they're fearful. This is why the enemy is now trying to work with such fear in the world, in society. And what does it create? Mental problems, turmoil, heart problems, increasing cancer, blood problems, blood pressures, and so on. Because this is what it does. Do not fret. Because otherwise you get out of joint mentally and spiritually. As he says in verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, and so on. Don't fret. God will judge it. God will deal with his enemies, even your own enemies, which can be sickness, disease, persecutions. All of that is our enemies. And what do we do when the trials come? Well, do this and do that, or try this or try that. And we've all done it. We've all done it. No, the Bible says, wait on the Lord. That's the last thing you do. Particularly if you're going through a physical trial. This is what God said to me when I went through my physical trial. He said, wait on me. You see, resting in God is to do with your relationship with him, because worry and anxiety results in sin. And that's why we have to deal with it as sin. It otherwise separates you from the love of God. It separates you from that nearness of God, experiencing God in your life, taking over. That's exactly what it does. And you see, we're deceived into thinking that, well, a little worry or a little concern, it actually tells me how wise I am. It tells me I'm on the ball, you know, and I'm not going to be deceived. That is a lie from the enemy. You see, that's what we were taught before we came to Christ. Well, it's not wrong to have worry or anxiety, whatever. After all, that's wisdom. That's showing that you care about it, and so on. Oh, it all sounds very logical and plausible, doesn't it? But not with God. God says that is sin. It's actually an indication of our sin and unbelief. You see, we're never saved to plan our own lives, to fear and worry over every trial. We're saved to glorify God, to accomplish his plans for our lives. That's what we're saved for. We're saved for his glory, and that he has set a path for us, and he has a plan for us, and that is about his glory. It's not about you or me or FGA. It is for the glory of God. The trouble is we have it round the wrong way. And that's why repentance is needed. You see, fretting and worry is a sign I want my own way. Did you know that? When you actually start to worry and to fret and become anxious, it's actually a sign I want it my way. I want to be in control. I mean, how crazy, how mad when you think God has provided for us and yet we want to hold on to our worries, our frets and our anxieties just because we want our own way. That doesn't even spiritually make sense, does it? And yet we do this. You see, Jesus never worried. He never fret because his plans were to fulfill his Father's plans. He knew what his Father wanted from him. And when you know what God wants of you, you walk in authority, you walk in confidence, you walk fearlessly in faith. You say to me, well, I'm not quite sure I experienced that. Well, let's give one big example. Where did God want you to walk this evening? Where did he want you to be tonight? You say to me, well, yes, to come to the meeting, to be here online. Exactly. And did you fret? Were you worried? On the contrary. You knew and you know by being here, by being together under the anointing, that is the will of God. That is the path that he has set for me. This is not rocket science. And yet we make it so difficult at times for ourselves. And this is how God is going to lead us. We know the path. We're seeing a lot of that path being revealed to us as we walk on it. I'm convinced that when you walk on that path and you want to remain on that path, then more of it will be seen. But all the while you fight against God and you don't like the path that is set for you, you're hindered. And we know that happened to the children of Israel. And finally, God gave them up. They perished in the wilderness. But you know, anxiety and worry, that's always a sign I want my own way. You see, Jesus, he never worried. He fulfilled God's plans. You see, has your own soulish wisdom been feeding worry and anxiety? Or planning. In other words, I plan because it's too much for God to handle. And we do that. We don't say it in so many words, but our actions do it. When our actions go before God, or when our actions are contrary to God, we're actually saying God can't handle this or this problem in my life. We need to set it all aside and repent and rest in him. That's what it says in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's abiding, it's remaining there. You see, this worry and anxiety takes so much of our time up. It's time consuming. It takes you away from being sensitive to God's path that he has for you. So often, you know, God shows you a way or a direction. He's already indicated, but that old fear and anxiety puts that all to one side, and we continue to go down that path that we think is right, only to find that we repent and we come right back, and God showed us all along that path to take. And then finally we say, okay, we surrender, and then we start to walk it. And guess what? When we start to walk it, there's that peace, that harmony, that fellowship. There's no striving. There's that rest that you have by faith. But so often we're planning and running before God. We know that with the old Peter, don't we, in the Bible? But look how God caught up with him in the end, and how he broke, you see? And that's why God has set a path for us, and he is sovereign, and you are going to walk that path. You are going to fulfill every step of that path for the glory of God. Don't get your mind into it. Don't try and work it out, because it will never make any sense at all. Trust me. You know, a lot of our deliverance in the mind comes from by stop planning independently of God. Are you battling in the mind? Is your mind under stress, turmoil, or whatever it is? Very often it's because there's this planning. There's this idea that you have. You have for your life. You have for your ministry, or whatever it is. You've got to let it all go. And let God plan his will through you. That is when it is supernatural. That is when it is anointed. There's no striving in that, you see. But we still do these things independent of God. And the only way this can be achieved is a prayer life and leaving it there with him at the foot of the cross, and let him work it out in your life. The point is, are we resisting this chosen path? Because I can tell you something, in the flesh, you won't like it. I know, because I ran away for over a year from the calling on my life, because I didn't like it. It's not what I wanted to do. But God, in his mercy, he has a way of catching up with you. And I can tell you, a Jonah experience is not something that you should experience, because going into that fish's belly, spiritually speaking, is a terrible experience. God has chosen a path. You will not like it in the flesh. I can tell you that now. But it is through the weakness that God makes us strong. This is where God gets the glory. He will not get it in any other way. If he could, he would do it. God will get the glory through the path that he set for us and also corporately as an assembly. There are things at times about FGA in the flesh that we don't like. There's things about FGA in the flesh as a pastor I don't like. But I have rested that this is God's chosen path. He doesn't make a mistake. Because our Father loves us. It is always based on the love of God. And the love of God we don't understand until he reveals his love to us. Even his love is a revelation. And the path that he's chosen for us, you will see the love of God. That is where you can be touched by his love in no other way than that path he has set for us and for FGA. Trust me on this. Because it's about his glory. You see, in the flesh, we don't like his glory. And that's where we have to be honest. Because there are times that God glorifies his name and we think, well, gosh, is that what it is? Or I thought it would be different. We have to learn, brothers and sisters, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His doings and what he does are way, way past what we think or do. There are things at times God has called me to do. I can't make sense of it. And then he's revealed to me, he's glorified his name. It was his will. And I can only acknowledge and say, well, praise God, that is what I live for. I don't always understand, but that is your will. I didn't understand years back, called to minister once a week, and gradually watching the people coming, one after the other, leaving until we were left with no one. And God said, you continue to preach. That is the path he chose. Didn't make any sense. But that glorified God. Very often, our obedience is what glorifies our Father more than anything. To obey, you will experience the Father's heart in a special way. And very often, sometimes, it looks negative. It doesn't make any sense at all. But God is God, and he never makes a mistake. As I bring this to a close, let's look at Isaiah 42 and verse 8. Isaiah 42 and verse 8, and we've been talking this evening about God's chosen paths for us. Isaiah 42 and verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, for my praise to carved images, nor my praise to carved images. So there we are. He says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I am God, that is me. That's why I love in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God doesn't explain himself, doesn't try and prove anything or whatever. This is it. I'm God. This is it. I am God. And he says, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. And you could actually say to carved images, that's where our minds, our imaginations, what we think or planning or whatever it is. God says, I'm not, you're not going to praise that. I will not glorify my name in that, in images, carved images, man exalting himself, his ideas, his plans, his inventions, what he wants to do. That's what it's really meaning there. He says, and my glory I will not give to another. He's not going to give it to anyone else. It is for him. And so as I close in this, may I suggest to you that God's chosen path for us is for God's glory and glory alone. And he is not going to share any of this with anyone else. And this is why the path that he has for FGA is so special. And the path that he has set for you and I is also so special, because he is not going to share his glory with anything or anyone else. It is for his glory. Heavenly Father, again, you have revealed to us today your glory, and it is awesome. How you are teaching us the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. How your ways are so far, far from man's ways. And yet there's still so much to learn and experience. And we thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Father, that you are so patient, so long-suffering, so merciful. How you never give up on us. How you are constantly working with us, jogging us, guiding us to walk this chosen path for each of us. Father, help us not to resist, but just to yield. Father, thank you that we are your peculiar treasure. None of it in the natural makes any sense. But we have been chosen before the foundation of the world to glorify your name. And Lord, I pray your peace, your presence will ever be with us. Give your angels charge. Continue to give your traveling mercies over us. And may each of us continue to walk that chosen path you set for us. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.